Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode. This is episode 69 of the Subi and You podcast. As you can see, I have Rally Trek on the podcast, and we get into talking all about his build and about the different races that he has gotten himself into, and some of the crazy mods he's done to his car. If you've seen his Cross Trek, then you've seen the lights that he has on it. I'm not going to say anything about the lights here. We'll just hear about it in the episode. But before we get into the conversation and before we get into some of the important stuff, I have to give a huge, huge shout out to Ryan, aka RB Trex. He was out at Olympus Rally this weekend, and he caught up with Travis Pastrana. And go check my stories. I lost it yesterday. He ended up, I guess, I don't know how it went down, but Travis Pastrana. Well, let me just play it for you here, because I was literally having trouble breathing after this. So thank you so much, Ryan. No, it was great to see that, and a great thing for you to do, and I really appreciate that. I mean, I have had his co-driver on twice, but so seems like it was probably going to happen at some point anyway. But thank you to everybody for supporting the podcast and listening. So here we go with that clip.
What's up, Raphael? You need to get on your podcast sometime, bud. Keep making us sound good, look good, and hope to see you at the more races.
Okay, so there you have it. We had Travis Pastrana on the Subi and You podcast. Well, sort of. Thanks again so much for that, Ryan. And I guess I'll have to get into some business now before we get started with this conversation with Paolo, aka Rally Trek. This episode is brought to you by Melee Design Firm. My buddy Mitch owns this little business. He was also a guest on the podcast, which was episode 40. So go give that a listen if you have not listened to it already. It's a really good episode, and I really enjoyed having him on. Melee Design Firm is based in the PNW, and they specialize in the design and manufacture of direct fit and rally spec battery mounting solutions. They're the first company to offer a direct fit lightweight battery mount for the 2015 plus Subaru WRX and STI, then 2014-2018 Forester XT. So go check out meleedesignfirm.com and get your battery and battery mount today. Also check out the other products that they have to offer as well. So thank you so much, Melee Design Firm, for sponsoring the Subi and You podcast. This episode is also brought to you by SubaruGear.com. Do you have a hat that is your go-to cap? You know, the one that you always wear when you're out and about or doing yard work or just running errands. I had one hat, and now I have a few, but nothing wrong with adding a new favorite hat to the lineup. You have to see this new Navy hat from Subaru. It's the Travel USA cap made from 100% cotton chino twill. It's complete with a plastic snapback closure to adjust the sizing, making it comfortable for anyone to wear. No matter where the journey takes you, grab this cap as you head out the door. Get free shipping and 15% off your order at SubaruGear.com when you use the promo code SUBIANDYOU at checkout. Thank you so much, SubaruGear.com, for sponsoring the podcast. This weekend, I was finally able to make it out for some trail runs with Mountain Rue Texas. And it was really cool going out there and getting in some adventure. And adventure is what Ryka is all about. Ryka is committed to providing customers with the highest quality, specialized wheels and lift kits that will allow you to travel further, experience new adventures, and discover extraordinary destinations. Ryka wants to make sure that you are ready for anything wherever adventure takes you. Ryka's flow form process creates both lightweight and durable wheels, which are of the highest quality and are built to satisfy the requirements of all of you adventure enthusiasts. Ryka lift kits raise your Subaru to protect the vehicle's underbody from damage while off-roading, which is what we were doing this weekend. The lift kits are also designed to increase the vehicle ride height in order to accommodate larger tires while maintaining the factory ride quality and alignment. The quest for adventure begins with you, and Ryka is what gets you there. I have some more shout outs to give. I need to give another huge shout out to River, aka Wild Thornberries. I was contacted by Rally Tech asking if I had a media kit. I was like, what's a media kit? I didn't know. So I had to look it up, see what a media kit is. And the first example I came across was like 10 pages long. So I felt a little overwhelmed and defeated. But knowing that she does photography, I contacted River and asked her if she happens to have a media kit for what she does. And she said yes, asked for some information to send to her, and she put together a media kit for me. So thank you so, so much, River, for doing that. If you look on my stories, you'll see smaller images, but that's what she put together. And I've shared it around some. I've gotten some really great feedback. I think it looks great. So thanks again so much for doing that. And I just really appreciate it. So now I have a media kit. So if anybody asks, I can send them one or just send one anyway. So here we are with the other shout outs too that I typically do. So the first is Jeremy Ashburn. And this is cool because this is another person that I actually met in person out where I live. So I was going for a run and I was coming back to my car and I see this Outback pull around and he gets out and he starts asking about my wheel and tire setup and asking me if I needed a lift with it or if I had any rubbing, you know, the typical questions. So we just ended up talking for, I don't know, like maybe 15 or 20 minutes, something like that. So it was really cool to see somebody in person, meet another Subaru enthusiast. And so thank you so much for stopping and talking to me, Jeremy. So we also have Musuba Subi, Appa the Skyback, which is really cool because my son and I just finished watching Avatar The Last Airbender. We finished up the last episode of the season, I guess about a week ago. So that was a really cool show. So that was a cool follow to get. And then also, my homegirl Reese, which she's not my homegirl, but it's Whitney is the driver and her orange Crosstrek is her homegirl Reese. So it was really cool meeting you and meeting everybody else from Mountain Rue, Texas. Thank you so much for taking us out on the trail. I really enjoyed that. But anyway, so now we will go ahead and get into this episode with Paolo, driver of Rally Trek, and hear all about his build and the races that he has gotten himself into. So here we go.
Start introducing the six-speed non-STI transmission.
Okay.
So those non-STI six-speed transmission, they carried over to the first year of second-gen Crosstrek, the 2017 Crosstreks.
Yeah.
So we kind of have like the same gearbox housing as them. So technically you can swap the transmission and your rear differential with a WRX to have like a better gearing ratio. But the weird part of like Crosstrek and like also like other feedbacks from like what I'm like reading on Reddit, since the first gen Crosstrek only have like 5 speed, the first gear is like not enough to like carry over like hills and like terrain because we don't have any low gear.
Oh yeah.
So what they did with our generation is they gave us like a very slightly higher final drive, the rear differential, then they gave us like a very low first gear. That's why like when you drive in a street, like flat road, your first gear, green light drop, then the moment you go second gear, the car lurches forward.
Yeah, I experienced that. And like the first gear is like revs really high.
Yeah. So the red line on our first gear hits like 23, 25 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And still, until it started like bouncing off. But the moment you, like, for example, you upshift, like, I'm like looking at my RPM right now. You upshift around like 3000, you're going to lurch once you like drop it to second gear.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I was reading Reddit. I'm like, hey, yeah, is it like normal, like, for like manual cross tracks, like to like lurch in second gear? I haven't driven a car like this. I was like, yeah, it's your first gear. They have like a very big gap compared to like the first and the second.
Okay, yeah.
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 And it's just like me doing all of this back, what do I call that, researching all of this Subaru, old Subaru parts and everything, if anything's going to fit my car.
Yeah.
Our car, specifically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you want to go ahead and officially get this thing started?
Yeah. Yeah, we can start ahead.
Well, I guess go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and like what part of the country you are in.
Hello. My name is Paul Lumpas, which kind of like most people know on Instagram by Rally Trek. So right now I'm in Southern California, San Diego. Been here for like the past 5 years so far.
Okay. Where were you before that?
Well, for like some of my close friends, I was in the I'm in the military.
Okay.
So my first state actually is Chicago, where they do the basic training. Before that, I was like in Guam, which is kind of like my home territory. It's not a state.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And it's cool because like I actually met you in person out at the Soft Road Nation 1 year anniversary and got to meet you and a lot of other people. So it was really cool to meet you and to see your car. And I wish I would have looked at your car more when I was out there, but there was like so many cars and so many people. I was trying to just like make my way around and, you know, talk to everybody and stuff. So it was a little overwhelming, but in a good way. So it was just nice to meet everyone.
Yeah, it's kind of like a sensory overload for like lots of like different rigs, lots of like old faces, beautiful faces from like the past years. Like there's like some people that I met during that day, which I met like 3 years ago. And I was like, hey, bro, what's up?
Yeah. And it's really cool how so many people can come together like that for a common purpose, you know, for the anniversary. And then, of course, for Chris. So I think a lot more people, well, I mean, I don't know for sure, but it seems like more people ended up coming out that may not have come to just the 1 year anniversary, but because it was also a celebration of Chris, it seemed like there was a lot of people and it was really great of everybody to show up and support his family like that.
Yeah, there was kind of like a thing. I was like, man, this guy, him and John was like thinking about like their first year anniversary for like a very long time.
Yeah.
I just wish like this guy managed to like see what he managed to like done for the community.
Yeah. I mean, and he just, there were so many people that really loved him and supported him. And he was all over the place with everybody just, you know, supporting and DMs and everything. So it was really cool.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing Rally in your Crosstrek?
So, yeah, about that. So here in the United States, right, there's like a big difference because the one I'm doing actually is not rally, like stage rally.
Yeah.
Stage rally, kind of like point A to point B with pace notes, different classes. You have a navigator. So what I'm doing is like rallycross.
Okay.
So rallycross also have like two definitions from like what I know. So the European rallycross is kind of like a circuit and it's kind of like a grid type and you have like several cars on the grid and all of them is like going for like four laps. You can go for like the fastest to reach the checkered line. So that's the European rallycross, which is kind of like the same format as the Nitro rallycross. So the one I'm doing is rallycross, like US version, which is kind of like autocross. We just have like cones everywhere and we go through the last gate as much as possible, as fast as possible. The only difference is with autocross and rallycross is with autocross, you get like lots of runs, but they're only going to take your fastest run. Like, let's say you get like 15 runs. your fastest run is going to be the one recorded as per whichever local governing body is for like the organizer.
Okay.
With Rallycross, the one here in the U.S., it's kind of like stage rally. All of your runs, all of your times gets added up just like that. And whoever have like the less time, so that guy get like a position. Like sometimes I'm going to have like runs like, oh, this run is like fast. Then the next time we're going to go, they just water the track. And I'm like, oh man, I'm like 6 seconds slower this time, 5 seconds slower, which I can like recover that seconds I lost on the next run.
Yeah.
So that's the one. So coming back to your question. So I've been doing this since, let's say, 2020. So almost like 2 years now. It's around like February 2020 when I went to a California rally school with like a couple of friends as per invitation.
Oh, that's cool. With,
yeah. So this is pre-COVID. So there's a CRS and a SCCA for those who like some guys who do like grassroots motorsports. So CRS, California Rally School, they did some kind of like a 2-day event. So Saturday is classroom instructions, and there's also like seat time, and kind of like telling us like, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what to expect. So trying to like anticipate how your car is going to move. At the same time, on the other room, we're having like a crash course also for like the co-drivers, which is also fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My second day, that's like, since we're like there already, they're like, hey, you guys interested in like doing an actual CRS event so you guys can rack points or something for like future purposes? And I'm like, okay, I'll try.
So, yeah, why not?
Yeah, it was actually fun because back then I did motorcycle racing.
Oh.
I crashed that one. then I did also autocross.
Okay.
So this one's kind of like, okay, let's try this one on my grocery getter. So I have like a stock all-terrain tires back then. And it was fun. So yeah, that was February. I remember it's February 2020.
So the type of racing that you're doing, you're not racing like you see Nitro Rallycross with all the cars out on the stage at the same time. You're going one at a time?
Yes, we're running all one at a time. So for example, a typical race day or race weekend, kind of like for rankings. So we have like different classes, and each classes have like a different time periods where they're supposed to run.
Okay.
So for example, me, 2 years ago, I was running on stock all-wheel drive. Now, since I updated the car and like put some things on it, I'm now running on prep all-wheel drive. So I'm running with all of the prep all-wheel drive guys.
Okay.
So all of us gonna line up at the grid. We have like a marshal in the front of the grid, like, hey, you're next. Hey, you're next. So after like the flag drops, we have like our timer is kind of like a pressure sensitive line at the start and the finish. So it's not like a person holding a stopwatch at the beginning, at the end. No, the moment, it's kind of like drag racing. The moment your wheels touch the wire, then the time starts. The moment your wheel touches the finish line, the timer stops.
Okay. And then I guess you have like a certain amount of time between cars before they let you go.
It actually depends on like my experience. Like 2 years, not that much of a big experience. But if it's like, let's say, a small group, then there's like less interval. If it's like, let's say, a big group, kind of like a, what do you call that? Subi Fest from last year at here in California, we have like lots of like guys running.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, instead of like running like a typical race weekend here in Southern California where we go by class, this time around they just put out everything because we're like running on a Subi Fest schedule.
Yeah.
So it's actually like, I think it's going to take like around like 15, 17, 20 minutes until like we get like, we have until I get like my next run after like my, after finishing one.
Okay. Yeah. How many rally events have you participated in?
So Rallycross, really can't count anymore.
That many, huh?
Well, I did two seasons. So each year there's around like seven weekends. So it's like almost like every month, starting from like March all the way to like September. Then sometimes you can have like a November or December, depending. So yeah, roughly like 7 to 8 events, race weekends for like a year.
So you're in it right now, huh?
Yeah, actually, here in Southern California, they just open up a different location. So the previous location, we each run is only going to run us around, like, let's say 40 seconds average, 45 seconds. This time around, it's double. It's like a minute and 40, a minute and 50.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger. And they opened, they did the season opener last March. But I was like, have like a previous different engagement that weekend. So I wasn't able to like come. But this coming May, I'm prepping for the one this coming May, actually.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Now, are there a bunch of different tracks that you go to, or is it always in the same track, like the same location, I guess?
So here in Southern California, because in California, right, there's like two Rallycross series. So there's the NorCal Rallycross series, and there's also the SoCal Rally series. So I'm only doing the SoCal, but we can do, if, for example, you have like a trailer, if I have a trailer, I'll bring my car all the way up to the north.
Okay.
Yeah, we just kind of like shout out to like Blanco Racing, because she and her boyfriend is the one hosting this year's season for NorCal Rallycross.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it was cool having her on and having her talk about it too. So this will be another good episode for people that are interested in doing that.
Yeah. Actually, it's my first time meeting her in like Subi Fest last year, but she also did the Subi Fest Rallycross.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, she was also there. It was fun knowing a lot of people, meeting people and just knowing what they drive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, so if I'm able to make it out to any Subi Fest event this year, because I went to Boxer Fest last year, I really want to make it out to Subi Fest California, because I know a lot of, or all of Soft Road Nation is going to be there. And then I know so many people out there, and it'd be really cool to attend that one and get to meet, you know, get to see a lot of people again that I saw when I went out there for the 1 year anniversary, but then also get the opportunity to meet a lot of people that I've either had on the podcast or that I've been connected with for, you know, whatever, just through Instagram. So that's the one I want to make it out to this year.
Yeah, Instagram is a wonderful tool. You meet people even though you haven't seen them in person.
Yeah, it's great. And then, you know, you get connected with people in the community and you start chatting with them on Instagram and you meet people all over the country. And then it's like for me, I travel for work. And so I've traveled, I went to DC a few weeks ago and I met up with the Cross Trek out there. Sean Cornelius, he goes by the_CrossTrek. And it was cool because I actually met him at Boxer Fest and we kind of chatted for a little bit. And then when I went out to DC, I met up with him and his girlfriend for dinner. And it was cool because we were there for like over an hour just chatting and talking about stuff. And so and then this is, I think this is gonna air before, might air before around the time that I go, but I'm going to Chicago and I'm gonna get a chance to meet up with Jay, who goes by Audiophile, and he was on my podcast. He was episode 50, and we've been connected on Instagram for a long time. So, you know, it's cool because you can meet people all over the place And then it's like, hey, I'm coming into your town for whatever reason. We should meet up, you know? And so, yeah, so Instagram is such a great tool to get you connected with people. And then, you know, when you get a chance to actually meet them in person, it's like, you know, really comfortable to be like, hey, it's you. What's going on?
Yeah. I have like lots of like that moments too. Like when I first started like off-roading, because I'm just running like stock wheels, stock tires, not even anything in the car. Like literally my car looks like fresh from the showroom floor. And
yeah,
there's this group called the Mountain Brew here in Southern California, which is kind of like also off-roading Subaru.
Yeah.
This like a couple years back, and I'm going to see someone like posting an event. And Friday, the night before, I'm like start loading up like the back of my car. Since I only drive by myself, I'm like, I'm just going to go like full sand most of the time. which kind of like a funny thing is my car, it's a 2019. Mm-hmm. And I got like around 114,000 miles on it.
Wow.
Yeah, and people, especially here in SoCal, they're not surprised when they see me, even though I live like hours away. I'm like, oh, you're all over the place. I'm like, yeah, I need to like get out of the house. I need to like see some people, you know?
Yeah, that's good though. You know, I mean, it's nice to have that kind of freedom and flexibility to get out and be able to meet people and, you know, go around. I mean, because I want to be able to do more of that, you know, as time goes on, just get out and meet people and maybe do some episodes in person, you know. But I definitely, I would like to make it out to the San Diego area, you know, SoCal again at some point other than Subi Fest, because I want to be able to like just kind of hang out and hit some trails with people.
Yeah. We just kind of like, speaking of like long distance driving and just like full send, I think the longest distance that I drive on a single weekend was, I think like 1300, around like 1,300 miles.
Wow.
In like a day and a half.
Yeah, that's, that's a lot.
Yeah. Which the funny thing is like that weekend, I think I went to like four events.
Wow.
Oh, actually five events on just like leaving like Friday afternoon or actually Saturday morning. So my day started San Diego. It's kind of like the first Blight trail that we did with Soft Road Nation.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of like the first time around. Oh, actually, not the first time. It's the second time around. So, the second time around, San Diego, drove all the way almost Arizona, then drove north to Salton Sea to meet up, like, John, everyone, and every cars. Then we finish around, let's say, 2 p.m., 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Because we started around, we have to trail her, like, 10 a.m., so I'm still next to Arizona. Then after that, I drove like 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
With the Soft Road Nation. Everyone started like going separate ways. And after that, all-wheel drive boys. I remember you talked with like a couple of them back then. Like I remember Jesse's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, back, yeah. So they're like having like kind of like a Balsa Beach in here in LA area. So I drove like 5 hours to show up there on like 9 p.m. And some guys that I know, even Jake Shigisubi.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, you actually like made it. I was like, yeah. They were like, aren't you at Blight? Like, yeah, like 5 hours ago.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I have like 3 more that I have to like go for like the next day, which kind of like makes the story long. But yeah, I love going places, which is kind of like why I love this car. For the first time I got it, I was like, man, this car is gonna bring me to like lots of places, meeting lots of people, doing lots of things.
Yeah. I love driving my car too. I mean, there's times when I get out on my lunch break, like we're having to go into the office 2 days a week now, but like when we were working 100% from home, I'm like, I've got to get out of here. And so one, I want to get out of the apartment. And two, I just love driving my car. So sometimes I would just go, like I might go to the grocery store or go get gas or, you know, go get something to eat somewhere. Or just sometimes I might just drive around. Like I just want to drive, you know, I love it.
Yeah. We're just kind of like, the thing is like, I just wish that Subaru doesn't drop the manual transmission for the Crosstrek, because I have like nothing against the CVT. I wish I have an eyesight system that just go cruise control, adaptive cruise control, and like lane centering assist. But there's something about manual transmission, a third pedal, that keeps driving interesting and engaged.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, the Crosstreks are not fast by any means, but it's still makes for a better and more enjoyable driving experience to drive a manual.
Yeah.
So when doing rally on your, or, you know, being able to do the events that you do, what kind of modifications did you have to do to your car to like get to the modified class or whatever? I can't remember what you called it.
There's like a different, so the classes, right? So with stock class, is so the highest one is the modified.
Okay.
So that's like the heavily modified one. So stock class is stock car, stock suspension, and your tire. You can change out the wheels. The wheels doesn't matter, but your tires is supposed to be DOT, like it's road legal.
Okay.
Like you can have all terrains. You can have summers. Whatever tire, as long as like DOT rated, legal for road use.
Okay.
Which is counterintuitive, because we're running on dirt and gravel, right?
Yeah.
So some people, I found out this like last year. So apparently the snow tires on dirt and mud shaves off the most second each run.
I heard that before. I don't remember who it was that said that, but somebody said that somewhere. Maybe it was on Launch Control or I was talking to somebody, but I heard about that and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like counterintuitive. And I was like, then you start like looking more into it. The thing that makes a snow tire, non-studded ones, a snow tire, it's because the compound is soft. And you want to, for example, you have like loose terrain, instead of like having, let's say, the tread box on an all-terrain tires, the compound on the snow tires actually grips more on the ground.
Yeah, because it's softer.
Yeah, it is softer. It was like, oh, which kind of like, I never tried using a snow tire, but there's like this one guy who was like running and he was like, what time did I got? I was like, oh, this is your time. I was like, damn. I was, sorry, is that a cuss word?
That's okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it was like, man, I drive faster in a snow tire. I'm going to do this again next year or next run, next race. So that's for the stock class.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, that's just the one third of the fun part. So me, I'm running now on second class. I mean, the prep class. The only reason I have to move to prep class is because I'm running a different suspension.
Okay.
And I'm also running a dedicated gravel tires, like the same tires, rally tires that stage drivers are using.
Ah, okay, cool.
So there's that, plus skid plate doesn't matter. You can run skid plate across all classes, but suspension components and tire components, that's going to move you up to prep, because I prep for that race.
So what has the driving experience been for you moving up to that class, having different suspension and different tires?
My car wise, the feel of my car actually feels better. Plus I have like more control because I'm like using a dedicated gravel tire. But one of the thing that's kind of like the joy of it is everyone in my class now is more experienced than from like a stock class.
Yeah. Okay.
So everyone is like driving faster, but I remember like one time, my first time around, he still runs. So we're in stock all-wheel drive. But this guy is driving a stock Evo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, everything is still stock on that car. The only difference is he's a national champion for rallycross.
Yeah, wow.
So being a national champion for like grassroots for like rallycross on a stock class, it was like, yeah, I'm going to look at his time. Sometimes like my friend told me, like, don't look at other people's time. Just focus on yourself. But you yeah. can't help it. You can't help it like compare times when your names are like a couple of like rows from their name. I was like, man, I wish I can do that fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say that prep class kind of like have like they have some kind of like an advantage over the stock class. But at the end of the day, it's not the car, it's always the driver.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the car only plays some part, maybe like half of it, but the other half contributes to like the driver and everything.
Yeah, I mean, you have to know how to handle the car. You have to know how to handle the corners. You have to know, I'm sure there's like when you're running a manual car, there's shift points that are better and get you through turns faster than others, you know. So I'm sure there's a lot of kind of feeling out the car and feeling out the course before you can really get to like, okay, now I can shave a few seconds off of my time.
Yeah. Which, when you're like saying that the shift points, right? So if anyone's like interested in like doing rally cross on their cross track, so most rally cross courses that we start putting cones in a dirt field or a gravel field, we can only go as fast as like 35, 40 miles per hour until like the next turn. We cannot go that fast because it's like a tight course. So with anyone driving a cross track, be prepared that you guys were always going to be either in first or second. Third gear to sixth gear doesn't exist.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to get there in that.
No, we're going to run out of like dirt road until we like reach the next corner and you have to like downshift or upshift.
Yeah. So I have a question real quick, not having to do with rally or anything, but a long time ago, like months ago, I guess, maybe it was just a couple of months ago. I don't know how long ago it was, but when we talked about getting you on the podcast, you said you wanted to know if you could reserve episode 69 because people would think it was funny or something. And it was like a thing. So tell me about that. Cause I've been curious about that this whole time.
Oh, I don't know. It's just kind of like, it's kind of like a guy thing, like whoever's like listening to this one and for example that number and they see it like, oh, it's this episode now. I'm pretty sure most of the guys listening here is gonna be like, nice.
Yeah. Oh, he got his episode. He got his number.
Yeah, this is all for the boys out there, homeboys.
All right then. All right. So
The third class?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Talk about the third class. Sorry.
Yeah. So the final class, modified. So this one is kind of like a different playing field. So modified class, you can start upgrading. You can start putting like power adders, making the car produce more power. Plus, you can do weight reduction. You can start removing panels, the back seats and everything, which is not allowed on the stock and prep class. That's why like sometimes you're gonna see like on the paddock everyone's like unloading their car and you're gonna see these guys like running on modified class, which is kind of like a retired stage car.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is kind of like what they call that, I think like last year November. Forgot which guys were there. But they're running they're unloading their Ford Fiesta and it's a full on like rally pods and everything. They have like a tarp on the floor. They have like on jack stands and everything. And I was like, man, this is like an actual stage rally team. And they were like, since like stage rally, ARA rally events are like, I think it's like over during that time. I was like, oh, might always like have fun with like the locals. And I'm like, oh, this thing is cool. But yeah, that's the only difference of like modified. Modified, you can add more power. You can do some swaps and everything. But one other thing is like also weight reduction.
Yeah. Is that something that you think you would want to get into, is the modified, or are you going to stick with the prep class?
Well, with the flow of my mods right now. So I started with suspension and brakes, because everyone knows we cannot make the cross track faster.
No.
Yeah. So I started with those things first to like, you know, handling of the car, feel of the car, change everything, the dynamics. Then the next part of the progress for my car is doing a full STI driveline swap.
Oh, nice.
So I'm keeping the engine for the meantime. So I'm going to start, let's say, from the engine, from the clutch all the way to the CV shafts. So everything in between is going to change out to an STI drivetrain.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, which is actually going to make my car slower.
What?
Yeah, because the STI gear, the gearing on the STI is kind of like different with the cross track. And the thing with an STI driveline, especially like the one with the DCCD, with the, we call that the center differential controllers, they have like a more drivetrain losses compared to like a typical 6-speed or a 5-speed manual transmission for Subaru, which an STI motor can like compensate with. But since I'm mating it with my stock engine, the engine already produces less. The car is actually going to be a lot slower. But it's kind of like I'm preparing it for like a ground up, because I haven't picked up or put my mind on like what engine I'm supposed to like drop into my car.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so far I have like 4 candidates, and it's not going to be cheap and it's not going to be fun. But at the end of the day, if I'm actually like pull it through, yeah, it's going to be wild.
Yeah, that's gonna be a pretty awesome cross track after that, especially with the racing that you're doing. I'm sure it'll make for a very interesting experience going from driving a cross track at cross track speed to driving a cross track at more of a WRX STI speed. You know, even though it's gonna be slow speeds, you're not gonna be going really fast. But your acceleration and, you know, going through turns and your shifting and everything is going to be a lot different.
Yeah, it's going to be like a lot different. Like I've seen like a couple of guys who've done it. There's this one company in Virginia who did the Frankenstein first-gen cross track. There's this one guy, I think he showed up like around like a month or 2 months ago, wherein he got 15 plus STI. I think it's like Copart or something, like a totaled car or something. Mm-hmm. And it just like transplanted the engine and the transmission driveline to a first-gen cross track, because they're like in the same generation. So everything just bolts on.
Nice.
So I don't have that money. I'm like doing everything. Like I'm my own race team. I'm the manager, the logistics, the transportation, the driver, everything in between, and the mechanic.
a one-man race team.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, like a one-man race team. And like everything, I was like, I'm doing this for fun, and I'm doing this to meet people. And so far, it's been fun, a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're having fun doing it, that's all that matters, you know, and meeting people. I mean, just meeting people in the Subaru community, and I know you're meeting people. I know you're meeting other people with other brands of cars, you know, because you've got all different makes and models coming out there to the track. So, you know, that's really cool. I mean, because no matter what kind of car you drive, you're out there for the same purpose of wanting to get out there on the track and just have a good time.
Exactly.
Yep. So where did the did you start doing some night rallies? Because you have those big long light bars on your hood, which the first time I saw that, I'm like, man, what is this guy doing with all these lights on his hood? I've never seen that before.
You're actually not the only one that did that. Actually, there's like this meme of like, I think it's like a black truck which have like lights on his lights and ditch lights on his ditch lights. Like he have like 12 pairs of like lights in the front. Like a couple of my friends in like the truck side, I'm like, hey bro, is this what you're trying to do? Like even some people at like SN, there's always like starting like, hey, and I was like, yeah, I know you're not the person to send me that one.
Yeah,
but yeah. So regarding for like the hood lights, right? So there's actually a reason for it. Aside from I'm using like a rally type setup and everything. So before I put in the hood lights, I have a 42-inch light bar triple row on my roof attached to my roof rails.
Oh, okay.
So I have like that massive light bar and everything. But the thing is, like, around like last year, I kind of like fiddled with the idea of putting a roof scoop on my car, which I'm still thinking about it. But as at the moment, I'm trying to like put all of the functional mods. Like a roof scoop is gonna be functional, but it's not gonna be like performance based or like handling based. That's gonna affect the car.
Yeah.
So I'm like putting it to like the okay, this is project to be done, but it's not necessarily needed as of the moment. So that's why I removed the light bar on my roof. Then I also did the roof rail delete because I'm trying to like put like a something at the rear for next time.
Okay.
But yeah. So now I only have headlights and fog lights. So there's like a couple of times, a couple of my friends from Rally Innovations, and I was like, hey, you're doing a rally cross and everything. Why don't you like look into them? And they're making like a kind of like, what do you call that thing again? It's kind of like a bull bar with the light rally light pods, like kind of like Jake, Jesse had, even John Bostrek have.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like looking at them like, damn, that looks so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can put like diode dynamics or halolights in the front, like perfect.
Yep.
And the only reason why I didn't went that route is I'm gonna have like lots of like lights in the front on a car that always go red line on most of my races. So I want to have as much airflow as I can, which is why I removed the grill. I did my own DIY mesh grill.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, I have like a front upper mesh and rear mesh. So I have like the most airflow I can have.
Yeah.
Because this car doesn't have any guts until you hit 4,000 RPM.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I never put any lights on that front part. And I was like, man, I wonder where can I put my lights on? Then I was like looking over for like an old forum because a buddy of mine, Justin, his name is like Subtle Driver on Instagram. So he's kind of like the guy that got me to like rallycross.
Mm-hmm.
And he have like pod lights. He have like pod lights on his BRZ. On his WRX and everything. And I was like, man, those pod lights looks cool. Then some rally cars, you're going to see them like whenever they do their night stages, they have their night setup, their pod lights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's like, it's custom fit, like the fiberglass or carbon fiber has to be like custom fit with the shape of the hood.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you see them put them on the round lights, like right at the tip of the hood, basically.
Yeah, so I was like looking around and I was like, there's this one company. I was like, oh, you're making light brackets that can accommodate like 4 light bars. And I was like, okay, let's check that one. Then I'm like picturing it in my head, and I was like, yeah, I'm putting my life on my hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at your Instagram account now, right now too. And I didn't notice before that you don't have the crossbars up there anymore. It looks kind of cool. It's a different look.
Which crossbar?
The roof rails, not the crossbars. Yeah. The roof rails. Yeah. I actually like that.
Yeah. I got the idea of that one from, cause there's like this, some cool guys, from Japan that follows me.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed them back, which kind of like how our Instagram game is. You follow me, I follow you back. Hey, I like your car.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah.
So apparently the Crosstrek, the XV, outside of America, there are some trim models that didn't came with a roof rail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Same goes with like Australia, Philippines, Japan. Yeah, I was like, damn. Then I was like looking, and I was like, wait, the Impreza 5-door 2017 is a Crosstrek unibody.
Yeah.
So it's the same shell. It's just a lowered Crosstrek, and the cross is just a lifted Impreza, the 5-door Impreza. And I was like, okay, let's see the roof molding. Which is a funny thing is like I have to like order it through the dealership by giving them the part number. And the part number guy was like, sir, this doesn't fit your Crosstrek. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Do it anyway.
Yeah, actually, I incorporated all of the hardwares from the 5-door. So I can still put roof bars on my car. But I have to like use the roof bars that the Impreza and the WRX using. Like, have you seen those wherein they screw it down to the roof?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I have those hardware underneath the molding in my roof.
Okay.
And if I need like a roof rail, I just like, there's like the molding, the plastic, the black molding where the roof rail is, has like a flap which reveals the holes, and the holes like mounted to my body. And if I need like a, let's say I need to put a crossbar for like a snowboard and everything, then I can still do it. It's not necessarily a full delete, but it's like a clean look.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got your crossbars that go directly into the existing holes in that slot, but you don't have the rails that go with it. So you're not sitting, you don't have your rails and then bars sitting on top of your rails. It's just like basically directly on your roof. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's still a functional roof. I just have to like, get like a different roof bar.
Yeah. Yeah. So what has been your fastest time so far?
So yeah, fastest time. So, the thing with the unlike stage rally, wherein you have like a couple of stages that already like pre-planned, there's already like a route and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So with rallycross, it actually depends on the organizers and the safety officers, or like the test runners of the track, the day before or the night before. So the course is always changing. No course are the same.
Yeah, yeah. I remember Sky talking about that.
Yeah, it's always like different. I'm like, which is kind of like what got me interested, because I was like messaging Sky. I was like, I think it's like Prairie City Rallycross, which some of the sections have like a couple of like jumps, and sometimes some sections are going to have like a dip and water's going to collect on it. And I'm like, it almost comes to a point that I was like willing to drive my car to NorCal, race it. Hope it doesn't break and make it back to San Diego.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Because sounds like it would be really interesting. Like a dip with some water, a little bit of a jump. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, it's actually like fun. I was like looking a couple of like guys. I'm like following like a couple of guys from like NorCal. And I was like, man, those looks cool. Because I think they have like Thunder Hill and they have Prairie City. Down here in SoCal, we have Glen Helen, and now they just started the Antelope Valley.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, we also had the Ridgecrest, but we haven't had any Ridgecrest for like 2 years now.
Yeah.
And oh yeah, I forgot to tell. There's also here in SoCal, I don't know if it's a thing on other places. So there's like an Enduro Rallycross.
Oh, nice.
So that's kind of like what got me into like removing the front grill or the, yeah, like the airflow. Because Enduro Rallycross, it's Rallycross setup, but on a dry lake bed.
Oh, interesting.
So there's like cones, which actually we can go faster, like 50, 60 on this thing. And it's just 25 minutes of flat out.
What?
Do as many laps as you can, yeah.
Wow.
25 minutes flat out, 25 minutes for my car, second gear, third gear, for 25 minutes. And I'm like looking all of my temperatures and everything, like, man, my temperatures are rising real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which kind of like my car, some people know about it, but I have like two engine oil coolers in my car.
Oh.
Just to compensate for all of that heat coming from like the engine oil.
Yeah. Have you ever overheated?
I don't want to come to that point because back then I'm running a different lighter oil. So I'm going to see in my temps just stock. I'm seeing as high as like 248 Fahrenheit on the oil temps. The thing is, the factory oil, it starts to thin out at 250 to the point that it's very light.
Okay.
So I change over to a heavier oil, and it still goes to that one. At least the heavier oil have like a higher threshold when you start to like thin out. That's why I start putting the first oil cooler, which is from a WRX.
So where
does
Where does the oil cooler go?
So some guys I've seen like in Facebook posts and everything. So the oil cooler I'm using for mine is made for two different generations of WRXs. One of them is from the first oil cooler is from the 2015 plus, the stock OEM oil cooler, which if you look onto a underhood of a typical WRX, the newer ones, you're going to see that they have this kind of like a thing where the oil filter sits on top.
Okay.
I don't know if you like notice it. So that's the stock oil cooler. So your oil is being cooled down by the coolant. So that's one.
Okay. Yeah.
Then the other one is an oil cooler made for a 2002 to 2006 WRX, which sits on top of that oil cooler. And this oil cooler is cooled by air. It's like radiator type. It's in the front of the car.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So typical day here in California, I'm running like average coolant temps and my engine oil is going to sit around like 185. If I try to like floor it, I only see up to like 205,
okay.
210. It doesn't go high that much anymore, which I can ring out on red line and I know my oil is not thinning out and it's doing its thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. So, man, I just realized we got sidetracked a lot. I talk a lot.
That's okay. No, that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I want conversation. And so conversation is like the most interesting thing to listen to. But I mean, that makes sense about like what your fastest time has been, because you can't really say. I mean, if you were driving the same course over and over again, like an oval, then yeah, you could figure that out. But since it's always different, that makes it interesting. But that also makes it fun, you know, because if you know, you go out and you're like, oh, let's see what it's going to be like today, you know.
Yeah, we just kind of like the thing with like on like an all cross and like you say an oval. We just kind of like with all of the cars running for like the whole day, the road surface gets different every time. Each time a car passes by, it's different from like the lap before someone drove over it. So it's like ever changing. Like
yeah.
Each one is not the same.
So do you watch rally, like stage rally, like they show on, I guess like the
Launch
American
Control?
Yeah.
I'm actually like following them. I'm like looking at them and, I was like, man, this looks so cool, but I can only dream.
Yeah. So, you know, so
because I have like other things that I have to like work with.
Yeah. So with all the different courses though, like if you follow and you know some of the different courses, if you could just Because, you know, they drive these cars like so fast on these courses. But I think it would be fun to drive any car on those courses if you were just like, hey, you're able to come out and just drive this course just for fun. Is there a course that if you could take your Trek out and drive it, you would?
Actually, there's two things that comes into my mind. It's the second choice is going to be the New England Forest Rally,
mm-hmm.
like some sections of it. Then also the first choice is every time I see like the pages in that one, the Ojibwe Forest.
Yeah.
The one with like, what do I call that? That land bridge.
Yeah.
And I was like looking at that one. I was like, if anyone's like driving here like fast enough and they just let loose it, they're going to go to the water.
Yeah. Yep. True. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like looking at that. I'm like, yeah, if I go this way, I'm just going to go like 25, even 50 miles per hour. I'm grabbing a grocery getter. I think my grocery is like on the other side of this trail.
Yeah. I mean, it would be fun though. You know, if you could just get out there and, I mean, because a lot of those stages, you'd be able to at least get your cross track going, you know, higher speeds. And it would just be fun just to get out there and do it.
Yeah, those are like the place that I want to go. And I was like, man, I think the closest stage rally that I have locally for the main series is the Colorado one. I think it's Colorado, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because so, we have local stage rallies here in California. There we have like local, like there's some in Nevada. There's also in Arizona, and there's also like one up here, Gorman Ridge and everything. So it's stage rally setup. Some people do like stage rally here locally, and I've seen like a couple of people talk to like some people, show me some pictures, how crazy it gets sometimes. I was like, man, this is nice. But yeah, I can only aspire and dream.
Yeah.
Maybe if I get lucky, or I don't know, I can't tell what the future have for us.
Yeah. But yeah. You never know. So, I mean, if you could take a ride, like do a ride along on one of the rally, you know, stage rally courses with a professional rally driver, who would it be?
Oh, man. First guy that always comes to my mind, David Higgins.
Yeah. That guy is, it's funny because I didn't know much about him until I started watching Launch Control, and I'm like, man, this guy is, he's really, really good.
Yeah, well, this is what kind of like I remember, because I was like looking at like different like Subaru rally drivers for like the past years, and I think, I'm definitely sure he have one WRC title. When he is still riding with Subaru, and when still Subaru is riding with WRC,
yeah,
it's the kind of like the Subaru right now. It's like blue and gold, right? So it's the blue and silver Subarus, the hatches.
Yeah,
like back in like the 08 to like 2014 period, he got like a win on the WRC.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And I think like right now, last time I saw him like drive, he drove an STI on kind of like a Pikes Peak version of like Europe. I don't know if you like seen that one.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I'll send you the link later. It's fun. All you can hear is like tire noises and turbo noises.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one is, I think it's like last year where he drove a Ford. I think it's a Ford Fiesta.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a WRC, kind of like a step below WRC spec, because you cannot run WRC cars for ARA rules, from what I remember.
Yeah, I remember they were getting worried about that. They were like making sure that the car was to spec for ARA.
Not WRC. Yeah, the WRC and ARA have like a different specifications. And this car is kind of like borderline from more like what I remember,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of like what got McKenna team and David Higgins was driving with them. And I was like, man, that's like a clean sweep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with,
yeah, he's like I think from like what I see, he's one of like the old school rally drivers. He's like chill minded,
oh,
and well calculated and everything. Not that much flares or too much. He always focuses on like the fastest time. Oh yeah, speaking of our since we're like talking about him, he also got the, you heard of Isle of Man?
Maybe, I'm not sure.
So the Isle of Man TT time, is like time attack. So he drove the fastest Subaru on Isle of Man.
Oh,
you
nice.
Have to like look at that one. Yeah. I think he's like going like 200 plus miles
wow.
on a straightaway on a Subaru.
Go Subaru, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was like crazy. Like all you can hear is like, you, like literally the thing that you blink and you miss them. That's how fast he is going.
Yeah. So with all the different rally cars that they've had, like, you know, they've done the, like the, it was like the Impreza hatch that they were driving. And then they went to the STI. And then there's also, you know, like the Ford Fiestas and things like that. If you could drive any type of rally car, which would it be? And it doesn't have to be a Subaru.
My mind is always the same. Like, funny trivia is, I'm a Mitsubishi Evo.
Oh, yeah.
Gearhead. I want an Evo so much.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Evos, it's going to be the Evo 4. That won the WRC back in the day. So back in the day, you have the GC driven by Colin McRae with like the 555 or the Subaru livery.
Yeah.
Then Mitsubishi had the red one, the one that's Marlboro livery driven by his name is like at the tip of my tongue. Mäkinen. Tommy Mäkinen.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an Evo 3 or an Evo 4, whichever like those two generations.
Yeah, those are nice. I remember I was watching Between the Lines, and they were talking about how the Evo and the STI kind of came out about the same time, and there was like a little bit of a rivalry there with the, you know, the two different platforms. But then also there's respect for each other because they're just awesome mm-hmm. cars.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of like the Mitsubishi Subaru rivalry actually didn't started with the WRX and the Evo. It started earlier.
Ah, okay. Nice.
So I think it's like 96 or 95. The Subaru have the Legacy. Then the Mitsubishi have the Galant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So now courses are getting different, cars are getting faster. So they upped their platform, they went with like a shorter wheelbase. Hence, the WRX was born with the Subaru. And with the Mitsubishi, the Lancer was born.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The rivalry. So it's always the red and the blue and everything. But all in all, I love both cars. I would want to like have both of them.
Yeah, that would be a good couple of nice cars to put in your garage.
Yeah, it's like, the reason why I like Evo is because when I was a kid, everyone knows Jackie Chan.
Mm-hmm.
So if Subaru have the STI division, the Subaru Technica International, Mitsubishi has the Rally Art.
Okay.
So that's kind of like, for example, Toyota has the TRD. Now they have the GR, kind of like the high spec division, like the faster sporty division for each car maker. So Mitsubishi has the Rally Art. And the first time I've seen an Evo is on a Jackie Chan film.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I can't remember which one it is, but I remember it. Thunderbolt.
So okay, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if anyone that's like listening to this one can still remember that movie, but if you guys remember it, he drove a yellow Evo at that time.
Yeah, I didn't see the movie, but yeah. I remember the name.
Yeah, have you watched Who Am I? From Jackie Chan.
I have not seen that either.
Okay, kind of like the police story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the reason for him like bringing it up is because Jackie Chan was an ambassador for Rally Art back in the day.
Oh, that's cool.
And he still owns his old Evos.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so that's the first time I've seen an Evo, and I still want one, even though I want a STI.
Yeah.
There's so many cars that we can like get. So many cars, so little money.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, speaking of cars, on your car, what does the OZ on the front mean?
Oh, yeah. For that one, it's Mark, the Rooted Progress.
Yeah.
I was like asking around back then. From what I remember, OZ Motorsport Lights, they make lights for motorsport application and also marine application. So he was like, hey, yeah, I have like a connection with these guys. Maybe you can like pop them out, tell them like what you want, what you need, maybe specifications. I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, their distribution office, their warehouse is actually 5 minutes where I live.
Nice. Yeah, that's good to have that convenient.
Yeah. Yeah, so I told them, like, hey, you guys have something, like, because I'm, like, measuring the hood and with all of the hardware and everything. I was like, I'm looking like a 16-inch or a 20-inch light bar, single row, which can either be a fog or spread, or it can be, like, spots. And it was like, yeah, we have a 20-inch. Yeah. So with that one, since I'm, like, buying, like, lots of their lights, they kind of like give me like, yeah, you can like have this for like a reduced price. And yeah, and they're actually like, one time Mark was like telling like, ask some sponsorship from them or something. You're like, they have like six lights in your car in the front of your car. And I was like, man, if I want sponsorship, I'm just gonna go for it. Right now, I just want to like build connections, build friends.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, currently their lights, I have two ditch lights. I have 4 20-inch bar lights on the hood. Actually, it's not on the hood; it's in my back seat. I remove it. The thing with those hood lights is they're removable. I have like 4 pins on the hood that I have to drill in. So those are the only thing that holds the light bar in place.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I meant to ask you that earlier, if they were removable or if you just leave them on there all the time.
No, they're removable. I just put them on if there's like some kind of events or something, you know, have lights that we don't have to like use in a parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just cool to see that too. It's like, who's this guy rolling up with all these lights on his hood?
But yeah, I remove them like on a daily driving because one, having a flat surface facing the wind reduces the flow of the air. So
yeah.
Actually I gain like 2 miles per gallon just removing the roof light bar
and
the hood light bar. So right now the car looks like an egg. It's like a white, like a hard boiled egg, freshly cooked. It's like smooth on the top.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, my light bar is actually at the back seat on the floorboard.
Okay.
So if I need to, like, for example, I need to, like, put them on or something, I just, like, put them back on the hood. I have, like, this water-sealed connections under the hood next to the light box, plug. Everything gets set, ready to get driven it with.
That's nice. Yeah, that's cool that you can just pop them on and off like that pretty easily.
Yeah. Which kind of like, I also have one of their lights, chase lights. So I was like asking them chase lights. I was like asking around. And how are you going to put chase lights? You don't have any roof basket. You don't have a roof light. And I actually have it mounted right now from like over the weekend. I just haven't wired it. So I'm probably just going to post it somewhere sometime in like the coming days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good place. It's a good placement, but it's not the first time around. Somebody did it already. I just got the idea from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I'm like doing this and everything. What do you think? I was like, oh man, that's so cool. But yeah, it's a good placement for a chase light bar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Those are important too.
Yeah. A lot important, especially with like low visibility situation.
Yeah, when you're hitting the trails and you've got a bunch of dust flying up, that's definitely a plus and a must, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking on your Instagram page, and I was wondering why there's blue tape over the 39 on the passenger side rear door, and then sometimes there's blue tape over the 251 on the passenger side front door.
Mm-hmm. So actually, I have numbers on both sides of the car. So the 251 is actually my number for here for Southern California Rallycross Series.
Okay.
So that's my registered number and everything. It's tied to my name. Hopefully next year nobody gets it, or else I have to like replace my number again. But so far, for like the past 2 years, I haven't replaced a number.
That's good.
So the 39 at the second row door, the rear passenger doors, those are from Subifest. So they give us numbers beforehand. It's because, one, for timekeeping, instead of like Subaru white cross wreck passing by, they could just like car 39, this happened. Car 39 just finished. Car 39 having trouble. Car 39 just got off. You know, and it's also for like penalties. Like if we hit one cone, that's like 2 seconds on top of like our time of that run. So for example, we're like going a hairpin. We're going to call in. We have like workers on the field away from harm's way. They're going to be like, for example, car 251, one cone or plus one. Car 251, one cone. Okay, copy that. The controller is going to be like, okay, one cone. So they're going to like just input it on their computer. So after we finish the finish line, 2 seconds gets added up automatically in our time.
Okay. So
that's the reason. So the reason why I have them taped alternatively, it's because not to confuse the organizers, which I'm like competing with.
Gotcha.
Because I already have the 251 when I did the Subifest. And so they gave us our numbers and so I tape off the 251 so they know that it's not my number, it's the 39 at the back.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then on your Instagram page, why did you decide to go with the grid style posts?
Oh, grid style. Yeah, I kind of like started recently doing that for some reason. I just find it aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
Because, like, for example, when it comes to like your, let's say the, what do you call that? I'm like thinking of the word. Like, you know, like the main pages, like when you go into Instagram.
Oh, your feed?
Keep scrolling. Yeah, your feed. Yeah, the feed. I was like thinking of like news tab or something. I don't know why, but yeah, the feed. So if you go to the feed, like, yeah, it looks good and everything, but it's kind of like a downside for it because not everyone's going to like double tap on a picture of a wheel without context unless they read the caption on it.
Yeah. Cause if you just see a post come across your feed and it's just the one photo, you're like,
They're just gonna scroll past up. So yeah. some people, not everyone is gonna get like curious, like, what's this post? You know?
Why is there the corner of the front of a car right here and nothing else?
Yeah, why is there like a bunch of trees in this post? What's the context?
Yeah.
So if they're like doom scrolling, they're just gonna pass by it. But if they're like, let's say, oh, they got interested, or like, oh, I wonder what this is. So they click on the name, the tag, the handler, and they see the main page of my page. And that's when they see, no pun intended, the bigger picture.
Yeah. Yeah. With that, though, you have to make sure that when you do another post that you post another grid, because if you post one photo, it throws everything off.
Well, I actually did it like on before, because I don't have that much time on like social media. So if you look at like the spacing in between posts, I do it like in between like every 2 weeks, every month. I just like dump 6 pictures,
yeah,
9 pictures on it. Then I have the caption, which cell had the full picture on it. They just want to like see it as a full picture. But once you like go to like the main page, and you start scrolling up from like months back, and you're going to see like, oh, so that's what that picture is for.
Yeah, I like that you do that, that you say, like, if you want to see the full picture, click on, you know, whatever. That's pretty cool. It's a nice little addition.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't have time for social media because you're out meeting people and having fun.
Yeah, and that one too, like sleeping in my car, probably in some parking lot or gas station, because I'm in the middle of like driving to nowhere.
Yeah, going to 5 events in one weekend.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like that event after that Long Beach, that Balsa Beach with all the all-wheel drive boys, I had like a room booked, a motel booked somewhere in like Anaheim. Then the next day I have to go to Ventura County, which is 2.5 hours from Anaheim. Then after that, I have to like go to like another one. And then after that, I have to like drive like 3 hours down to San Diego.
Yeah, you're just a busy guy.
Yeah, it's, yeah, my ex mode got tired that weekend.
Yeah, but you're having fun. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
So when you've done racing, have you had any damage to your car?
Damage. So let's see. So one of the most, I'm like thinking actually right now. Does ripped mud flaps include damage?
Sure,
I
why
like
not?
Lots of, yeah, I've ripped like lots of mud flaps already, which right now I don't have 2 front mud flaps. That's why I have to like go for like a full custom made for the mud flaps. So I removed the 2 mud flaps in the front because I have a Frankenstein of a suspension in the front that does not allow me to run all terrains without rubbing on the mud flaps that I had custom made.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, damage. One time I was running. And you know that bushing on the front lower control arm, the one that goes always bad?
Yeah.
So that bushing, that upright bushing. So my front control arm several months back is not a crosser control arm. I'm using a WRX 15 plus control arm, the full aluminum one.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I retrofitted it. I got like the necessary hardware from Subaru. I was like, oh, they match. Okay. So I had those ones. So the only difference with those ones, what I use them, is because our control arms doesn't have sway bar end link tabs. If you like notice, our end links for the sway bar is attached to the suspension strut, not the control arm anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
So the older Subarus, they have it on the strut. Now we have like an end link, like a foot long. Most people just delete them in the sway bar because, you know, articulation.
Yeah.
But for my purpose, I need an anti-roll bar because no one wants to see Humpty Dumpty rolling on the freaking rallycross course.
No, no.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, I have like, we're going to get to that part, all of the Frankenstein. Hopefully some give like some ideas to some people, you know, just tag me.
Yeah.
Shameless plug. But yeah, the only difference with that bushing, right? So the STIs have a bushing for that spot. It's a pillow ball. So it's less movement. It provides like a stiffer suspension setup because with R it's made for comfort. It's like rubber bushing. So every time your suspension get loaded, side loaded or something, instead of like just a suspension, those rubber actually get compressed. But the thing is like when we go off-roading, we have like too much articulation on top of like some guys run lift kits. that rubber bushing gets articulated way past what they're designed for. Hence, you have like ripped bushings.
Yeah, yeah.
With the pillow ball, it's more solid for like the front end of the suspension, but it's more rigid. And what do you call that? Plus the end link tabs is what I'm saying earlier.
Yeah.
Which allowed me to run a sway bar. So one time I was driving. I think it's like we have like 6 runs that week. So going over a rut, I heard something and I was like, oh, it's just a rock that hit my skid plate. Mm-hmm. Nothing big. So after that, I would go to the finish line. So every time I brake, I hear like clunking sound, like a loud clunk.
That's not good.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is that? And after like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I thought it's like a ball joint or a CV or a wheel bearing. So one of the quick checks that we do is step out of the car, kick the wheel on the sidewall. If the wheel shakes when you kicked it, that means something is off, something's broken. But the thing is, like, mine is not shifting at all. It's not the wheel axle itself. It's like solid. I was like, oh, I don't know what that is. Okay. So fourth run, did it again. After the run, clunking was still there. Fifth run, I was like calling to the marshal, like, hey, I think something's wrong with the car. And the marshal was like, well, if something is wrong, you cannot hold back. You're already at the starting grid. Either you forfeit this one or you have like a rerun or something. Or if something's really broken, you're going to get a DNF. Did not finish.
Yeah.
And I was like, full send. So I did full 6 runs and everything. I think I got my best lap. On the last lap is always the fastest run for each person because it's the last one. Just pedal to the floor. Go for it. So after that done, everyone leaving the course, prepping for like the next group running. And by the time I go to the grid, I'm swapping out my tires from gravel tires to my all terrains, and I was like looking like, what the hell happened? So that bushing, remember the pillow ball?
Yeah.
So for the typical OEM factory Crosstrek and other Subarus, we just have a rubber in there. So the WRS control arm have a pillow ball, and the pillow ball is surrounded by a hard rubber, kind of like acts as a shock absorber. But the thing with mine is, I think I was like going in too fast in some corners, and plus the control arm is like fairly old. It sheared off the rubber.
Oh, wow.
So the whole thing got unplugged. The only reason I managed to like find it is because we have like dirt pack in the tread blocks of the gravel tires. So what we always do after a run before swapping tires so we don't bring the mud with us is we go to the pavement next to the place at Glen Helen. Then we drive certain speed on pavement because that's going to shake off all of the dirt compact in the tread box. So by the time I press on the brakes, my car steering wheel shifted to the left while my car moved to the right.
Oh, wow.
Just imagine that for like one moment. Your car is moving. Your car is like crab walking in the middle. Like car goes to the right, steering wheel goes to the left. And I'm like,
that's not good.
What happened? Yeah. So I did it like a couple of times and everything. And I was like, yeah, something is bad. First time that happened to me. Got to the paddock, swapped the tires. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's not good. So, no. Yeah. Right now, since that control arm is still in my storage, I haven't got the time to press in a new bushing.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I'm running a 2012 Outback front lower control arm.
Hey, I guess, you know, if it works for now.
Well, it actually works. It uses the same bushing. It's just a different alignment and geometry. But it's still the same, almost the same, like 85, 90% of the time.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so that's one. Then, yeah, that's the worst break that I had. Knock on wood, I don't get anything much worse than that one.
Yeah.
But the other one is I actually snagged my brake line one time on a sharp rock.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
because the all-terrain tires, right? So the all-terrain tires is like 29 inches on overall diameter. If you look the one when I'm like running methods and gravel tires, they're like around the 25.4 inches or something, 25 inches of total diameter. So they're like almost half a foot smaller than the all-terrain tires. So the car is lower to the ground.
Yeah.
So there's sharp rocks. There's rocks, gravel, dirt, and everything. For some reason, one of the thing got like snagged the brake lines, and I was like, "Oh, no brake!" But I think it's like still have like manual handbrake, so I just stopped the car with the handbrake. And then, good thing someone brought a brake line, so I swap it out on the spot. And I also have a brake fluid in the car.
That's good that you were able to swap that out like that.
Yeah, which kind of like my wheels right now, since the thing with brake fluid is the stained surfaces, especially painted surfaces.
Oh, yeah.
So my wheel, the off-road wheel, is a Subaru GC wheel, 2.5 RS wheel, that I had powder coated, recoated to like the typical gold. But since it got in contact with the brake fluid, it got stained.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, so it still looks stained. It still looks bad to this day, but it adds character.
Yeah, and it's a good story, too.
Yeah. So tips for guys going not just rallycross, even for like a typical trailing, bring some consumable parts or things that might broke. Like, for example, an outer tie rod for your steering, an extra ball joint, a brake line. Hopefully that doesn't come to you guys.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, good thing like Cartboy have a brake line that's like braided. So like, yeah, this is going to like last longer. If that thing, I just got lucky that day that thing got snagged.
Yeah, totally. And yeah. Good somebody else had one.
Yeah. That one ball joint, and also for Crosstrek, I've seen some people had it. It's only $25 serpentine belt for the AC and for all of the auxiliary for the water pump.
It's only
25. Yeah, I remember Wendy. I told her like, hey, she's like asking like, hey, what do you think is like a good thing to like bring us like for like a precaution going on trail? I was like, oh, bring a serpentine belt just in case. You never know when you're gonna need it. Plus, if you're like trailing on a Sunday and you snap a trail belt, Subaru dealership opens at Monday.
Yeah,
and you're like in the middle of like nowhere, thinking like, how the hell am I supposed to like run this? Because that belt also drives the water pump.
Yeah, that's important.
So, yeah, crowbar, some tools, easy tools in there, torque wrench, all of them necessary. Or, you know, things that might like go wrong, aside from like bringing in food and water.
Yeah.
Something for the car is also not that bad to bring with. Coolant, brake fluid, engine oil. Yeah.
Yeah, all important stuff. Good things to think about, too. You know, I mean, because you just never know.
Yeah, it's kind of like accidents are never planned. They always happen when you least are expecting them.
Oh, yeah, of course. So what's been your, like, biggest lesson you've learned driving rally?
I'm, like, thinking about this one. So, you know, like, how when we drive on pavement, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're approaching a corner, you're approaching a right-hand turn and a stoplight. You brake first, then you turn.
Yeah.
So, in loose surface, you turn first, then you brake.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, somebody, like, told me that one because I was, like, got used to, like, a rallycross. I mean, autocross to the point I'm like braking in turns. Like, you can still use it on our rallycross style. But once you kind of like mix up all of the skills or things or people have like learned, it actually makes the car go around and make advantage of the loose surface to have the car pointed out, going out of the corner. Once the car is pointed out of the corner, you just like floor it and your car is going to carry you over to the next corner after the straight. If that's kind of like paints a picture.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. It sounds good.
Yeah. Or if you guys driven a Honda Civic before, like I did, just yank the handbrake and have the back slide out.
Yeah.
Only on like a close control courses. Don't use it on public roads or anything with other people on it.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
So what have been some of your favorite moments doing your rally?
Favorite moments?
Yep.
Favorite moments is actually, do I have to say everything? Because there's a lot.
No, I guess just something that like really comes to mind, like, oh, there was this one course that I drove and it was just a lot of fun and, you know, or I met a bunch of people or whatever.
Well, one of the fun things that I remember is when it's my first time doing a night run.
Yeah.
So it's like just the dirt. There's no floodlights or anything. There's no nearby auxiliary lights. And guess who have 4 20-inch light bar under hood?
Guess who's got plenty of visibility?
Yeah, so I was like, I've seen like people like run over cones because it's like nighttime. Because they want to do the night runs. It's fun. It's different. But at the same time, it also looks good in picture.
Yeah.
And I was like, looking, okay, he was like, the guy, the marshal was like, hey, are you turning on your lights? So like, yeah. The moment I turn on my lights, I lit up the whole field.
Oh, man, that's awesome. You see like this spotlight just driving around the course.
Yeah, because I always call that I have like a full 180 degree coverage on my car.
Oh, nice.
Or probably like a 170 or 165 degree. So I had my ditch lights. I pointed them slightly outwards. And plus they're like combination. They're fogs and they're spots.
Okay.
And the hood lights, the bottom two hood lights are pointed dead straight. Then the upper two light bars are pointed slightly like 15, 20 degrees to the right. So I can see like within like a wide range of vision in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. I'm like the moment like I'm actually getting conscious that I'm actually like, you know, going back to the grid. And when my light bar is still on, that I kind of like mess up people's eyes from like adjusting very light. So like very
dark. Don't look.
No, that's why like when I'm like seeing where like the last gate, because what they did that time is we're doing a day race on that day when the sun was still up. Then on the nighttime, instead of like changing the layout of the course, they just flip it. So your start becomes your finish becomes start.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of like changing, but the thing is still different, and I anticipate where the finish line is. So the last corner before my front is like pointing at the grid, I just turn off everything. I was like, yeah, I'm not putting people like kind of like a man in black. I'm like, yeah, I want you to like look at this, sir.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what just happened.
Like, oh, why am I here? I'm like, who are you? I'm like, I don't know.
whole group of people go blind after rally course.
Yeah, which is there's like another guy that have like full lights on it too, but I think it's like they're running halogens, so they're running actual bulbs with ballast on it. The thing with mine is like LED, so it's like high intensity, and I was like, oh man,
watch out for rally track.
Yeah, that's like one of the things that's like I remember that's like fun. And also ride-alongs are fun.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, so if actually Texas actually have a lot of going on, like Rally Ready is there.
Yeah, I know. It's only like 2.5 hours away from me. I need to go check it out sometime.
Yeah, I know. I know someone that's like in there in an RV with like clothes with like the guys on Rally Ready.
And, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he brought his RV and his Subaru with him on the trailer, and I think he's on there for like some time now, or like visit there back and forth. I really can't remember, but he did a couple of like runs with his Subaru on the Rally Ready Ranch, and I was like, hey, if I'm like get transferred to East Coast and I pass by Texas, how much is each run? And can I do ride-alongs with you? I was like, yeah, bro, I got you. I know these people. They're my friends. I'm like, okay.
That's awesome. Yeah. You just come out anyway.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, shout out to Marty.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know if, like, you know this. All of the people that I've met, I know them, but, like, first name basis.
No, that's good. It's good to
kind of like this guy is like he have a loud WRX with like a Pizza Hut delivery on top of his wagon. I was like,
oh, that's funny. Yep. Oh, the pizza's coming. Pizza's here.
Yeah, we're actually like making a joke out of it sometimes. But he's one of like the faster guys. He's actually running on modified because he does. He have like a. I don't know if you remember it. I think it's like when Rally Ready hosted a rally sprint.
No.
Up in like, I think it's like Colorado, Utah.
When was that?
I think it's like last year. I think Texas Dave got the first and Bucky Lassick got the second.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know if it's, or if you have your phone, I'll send it over to you. On your Instagram. I don't know if you can have to like cut this one off.
Okay. Yeah.
There. So sending over right now.
Yep. Oh yeah. I see that. Cool. That's
so
awesome.
That post, yeah. So the guy on the right is the one I'm talking about. He rides with us back here in Southern California.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of like fun, like meeting like lots of people.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure you meet a lot of people. I mean, if you're, if you're all coming together to do something, you know, the same type of thing, coming together, meeting up in a spot like that, and then going around to, you know, the different ones each weekend that they come around, I'm sure you meet a lot of different people, because I'm sure there's a lot of the same people there, but I'm sure there's always new people that show up that you can meet.
Mm-hmm. And there's like more like actually like one time it's actually like I think it only happened to me like first, second or three times, which is kind of like heartwarming because somebody's gonna this people like, hey, I follow you on Instagram. I was like, wait, what's your Instagram? I have to like make sure I followed you already.
Yeah. yeah it's
it's kind of like a different feeling and everything.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cool. What kind of challenges do you face when you're doing rally?
Does money counts?
Yeah. I mean, that's a challenge, you know, because not everybody can do what they want to do.
Yeah, so it's kind of like whenever I plan for like, cause they already have like the schedule for like the whole year, for like the whole season. So if I decided to go to this one month for a race, for a weekend, I'm already planning a month ahead. Cause hotels are cheaper a month ahead. Everything is cheaper. Plus I can still inspect the car, make sure everything's tight, make sure everything is working properly. Like right now I have to replace two ball joints. So there's that.
Always something to do. Like,
yeah, there's always something going on in my car. I'm like, people start like saying like, yeah, because you should have bought the WRX or it's not a race car and everything. And I was like, I'm having fun.
Yeah, exactly. It goes back to if you're having fun, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Then other things struggling concerning my platform is the bane of all Crossrig owners. It's slow.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but actually there's this one time, I don't know how it happened, so I managed to like move up because the course layout, instead of having hairpins, it just had like lots of like sweeping open corners.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing with like any kind of race is, no matter how much horsepower or torque you have, if you can't put it to the ground, you're not moving forward.
Yeah.
So I know in everyone, some guys in my class, they have like WRXs, they have like turbocharged cars. So everyone loves the sound of an exhaust that's like blaring loud. And I was like, oh man, that sounds cool. But the thing is, like, you give it some gas, you bring up the power. But the thing is, like, you're losing power by just spinning your wheels around the corner.
Yeah.
Spinning your wheels, that means you're not moving forward. Not moving forward, that means you lose milliseconds or seconds. Guess which car doesn't have enough power to spin wheels?
Yeah, so you're always moving forward.
Yeah, so I'm always at the limit of that thing. And I was like, yeah, this is fun, which actually, if you go to my page, I actually have, it's kind of like, just scroll down, you're going to see kind of like an inboard shot of the car. It's like a three-part shot. There's like part one, part two, and part three. So
oh, yeah.
Like a full, yeah, it's like a whole single run wherein I have a GoPro in my helmet and I have a GoPro in the windshield. And I made the video synchronized with one another and I just divided it into three and like uploaded it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I watched those the other day.
Yeah, so you can actually like see like how it's like going and everything. Like outside, out on the inside, like, yeah, it looks slow, but on the outside, oh yeah, it still looks slow.
Yeah.
What, you thought I'm going to say it's fast? Let's be real.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
I love my car though. Like, yeah.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, you know, with the stuff that you've done to it, I mean, it's, you're just out there having fun. You're having a good time, you know, doing all these different races and stuff. And it's, you know, like I said, with the tracks being different every time, that's always going to make it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say your favorite part about being, or is about being part of the Subaru community? And I guess the rally community.
More like the community, because it's kind of like different, see like two sides of the coin, because I also go out with my friends who have like clean cars, and also go with friends that goes on like trailing and off-road cars, and my car kind of like sits in the middle, and I was like, oh, the thing is, like, I've met like lots of people, like some of my close friends, most people that I hang out over the weekend is literally people I've met on like meets on off-road and trailing, kind of like the Saturday, Sunday, I'm heading out again on Long Beach for someone. But yeah, that's kind of like the best part of the community. It's like all of the people have like something interested in common.
Yeah.
And that's like a good thing to like talk about, share some ideas here and there, share some experiences. Like, for example, earlier, my experience, like, hey, if you guys are going trailing, bring some parts. Some people are going to think like some owners are like, oh, that's not going to break. But hey, you can never tell if that thing's going to break, which kind of like that one. Some people impart their experience with like recovery, you know?
Yeah.
So there's like lots of things like going on. And we just kind of like, it's all of this pool of like information in the community, which kind of like makes it great.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool to meet a lot of different people, and especially people that share the same passion, whether it's like you've got your side where you're doing the racing and then you've got your side with the Subarus. You know, I mean, it's all, especially the Subaru side, just because that's what I know. And, you know, so many people are just like really, really great, genuine people. And you're excited to meet each other and hang out and talk about your mods and talk about what you're doing, you know. And then, you know, it a lot of conversation circulates around your cars, but it also circulates around what's going on in your life too. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, then you really start getting to know people, and that's always a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. We're just kind of like, I'm kind of like thankful that I got this car. When I was like shopping for a car, I was actually looking at the 4Runner PRD Pro Sport. It's, what I call that, it's not that it's a bad thing that I chose a Subaru over a 4Runner. Yeah. But at that time, I was like, I was still have to like, how do you say that? I said like lots of things going on in my life.
Yeah.
And the 4Runner is going to be a too much load on my end. And I was like, yeah, let's downsize so a little bit smaller. So I was like looking at CRV, HRV, a CHR, a Jeep Renegade. And then I saw this one. I actually never knew about Subaru until like 4 years ago. Honestly speaking, like, I only knew Subaru about when they're fighting against Mitsubishi.
Yeah.
I'm always being on the red side of the court of the boxing ring. And I was like, oh, it's a Subaru. And I was like, okay, let's look at this one. And I found out this one has a 6-speed manual, plus it's an all-wheel drive, which most of my other choices are just front-wheel drive, and they're like automatics.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I hate working with anything that have like electronics if I have to like tinker around the car. At least with the manual transmission, you just mechanical, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like, okay, this car, yeah, I'm leaning onto this one. And yeah, waited for 6 months by order, and that's how I got this girl.
So, oh yeah, so speaking of it, do you have a name for it, for her?
Yeah, it's Zoe.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And it,
we just kind of like Yvette.
Yeah.
When we first met on Bradshaw there, the Bradshaw Trail. I keep on like forgetting earlier. So first time I met the Pachecos, Yvette was like, oh, hi, Zoe. And I was like, I'm a guy.
Yeah. Oops.
And what do you call that? Actually, the first time I met them, I was just coming off a race on an enduro rallycross. And I was like flying over the trails around like 11:30 at night, where all of them's already tucked in. Probably like Pacheco is still awake. Jimmy is still awake. Chris, half awake. But yeah, then after that, the next day, we still continue like the trails and everything. Yeah.
And you actually let her drive your car once, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like listening to her on her episode and everything. And I was like, oh, because of what you call that. Because she can drive a manual. But she always like asked me like when we see each other, like, Paolo, can I drive your car? Can I drive your car? And I'm like, it's not that I don't trust you. It's just I don't trust my car being driven by someone else.
Yeah, I get that.
Because it's not that safe. It's not for, like, you know, people going to break my car. No, it's because I don't have ABS. I don't have traction control and everything. Some of the safeties have been disabled. So you press on the brake too hard, you're going to lock all of the tires and start skidding forward.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's you just wanted her to be safe.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, like, when we're about to like leave, or when they're about to like move over to Hawaii, I was like, I'm gonna put back the safeties on just before she leaves. And she was like driving it on like across the parking lot. I was like looking at my car and also like, oh.
Yeah. That was nice of you to do that for her. I know she really got a kick out of that.
Yeah, she's actually like enjoying it because I can't remember if she have an exhaust, but at that time I have like a muffler delete, and she loves it when she's like floored in the back of the car. It was like,
yeah, 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 so when you first bought it, did you plan on doing any mods?
Yeah, so also the reason why I didn't, so I was like looking for fast cars, right? Because it came from like back then when I was like, yeah, I do like lots of like a little bit of like racing. So I was actually looking for a motorbike. And my mom was like, no, you're not going to get a motorbike again. I was like, okay. So
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like 30 years old and everything. And I'm still like, listen to my mom.
That's good though. That's good. You know, your mom, yeah. Mom wants you to be safe.
Yeah. No, because I crashed when I was young. That's why.
Oh yeah.
I got into like a motorcycle accident in just one of my practice runs. Practice race when I was like 17, 18. Yeah. So that thing, if I didn't get my protective gear, probably wouldn't be around anymore. So there's that. But yeah, I didn't get a Honda Civic Type R because if I got a Honda Civic Type R, I know I'm going to mod it. A 370Z Nissan, I'm going to upgrade it.
Yeah.
So I got this car and told myself, I'm not going to race this car. There's no way I'm going to race this car.
Yeah, no, not this one.
Yeah, this car is not going to touch any form of like racing. It's a daily, it's a grocery getter. It just gets me from point A to point B.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's the joke. Yeah, I was kind of like, looking back, I was like, man, I really said that thing?
Yep. Yeah. Well, I don't think I have any other questions right now, but it was cool talking to you. It was cool being able to meet you in person and, enjoyed listening to you talk about driving your car and all the stuff that you've done with it and, you know, trying not to blind people in the process.
Oh, yeah, that's why. Plus, it's also like eye-catching, and I don't want to get like pulled over for like having those lights.
Yeah.
My ditch lights, they're covered. It's the hood-mounted lights. I just like removed them. So,
yeah.
Just giving them less of a reason to pull me over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, man, and enjoyed having you on. So, hope you had a good time.
It was like a good time, actually.
Good.
Like, I really appreciated, like, you granting my request, small request.
Yeah. I reserved your number for you.
Yeah, wherever it's like, listening to this one, nice.
Yeah. Well, I hope you have a good night, man. Thanks again. And we will see you on Instagram and hopefully in person before too long.
Yeah, or if I move over to East Coast or somewhere else, I'll like pass over by a Texas.
Yeah.
That's the only way I'm going to.
Yeah, there you go. Sounds good, man.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
I'll talk to you later. Until next time, man.
All right.
Appreciate it for having me in your show.
Yeah, you're very welcome. All right, thank you so much, Paolo, for being on episode 69 of the Zoopy and You podcast. It was great talking to you. And if you're not already doing so, go give him a follow. It's rally.trek. And go check out his build and check out his crazy light bars on his hood. And message him and let him know what you thought of this episode. So thanks again, everybody, for tuning in, for listening every Monday and on Wednesdays. For those of you that do, I really appreciate all the support. And we will see you here in a few days on that Wednesday episode. And then again, next Monday, the next couple of episodes are going to be really good. So I'm looking forward to everybody hearing those. So have a great week.